Welcome to Get Godly With It. This is your host, Kathy Dooley. The purpose of this podcast is for you to see just how real God is. It is filled with encouragement and testimonies that will definitely increase your faith. Stay tuned and get godly with it. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Get Godly With It. I feel like I literally have not recorded in like so long in this spot because I have been doing a lot of like, not a lot, but like I did two Zoom recordings. And so it's been a little bit like weird because I'm not just talking to the camera, I'm talking to a person. And I hope you guys are liking the Zoom calls because I've been really enjoying doing them. And it's really nice getting like a different voice on the podcast as well. So it's not just me talking to you guys. Sorry, there's probably a lot of noise. I'm moving. But yeah, it's not just like me talking to you guys. There's actually other people and their wisdom is coming in as well. So I hope that you guys are enjoying the Zoom ones. I believe I had one before this episode and then I had a little bit of a break, which I'm going to be taking over the next 2 weeks. And then there's going to be a Zoom call and then this episode. It's going to be two before this episode. But let me catch you guys in because I haven't talked to just you guys. Next week, I'm going on a missions trip to Mexico. Can you believe that? It was so random because we were doing our homiletics class. So we were learning how to preach. And then at the end, the teacher was like, oh yeah, like I'm going to Mexico for the church there. And I was like, let's go. Like, let's get the whole class going. And only me and my boyfriend ended up sticking through to it. So we're going to Mexico literally next Tuesday. It's Thursday. They bought the tickets yesterday. We're going to go do some street evangelism. We're going to go maybe give a testimony to the young adults. I believe that's what he told us. And we're going to be staying, I think, at the pastor's house there. And so it's going to be crazy. Like, I feel like it's just so sporadic and random. But God is doing a work. And I believe that it's something that's going to be a part of something even bigger. And so, yeah, it's going to be over by the time you guys listen to this episode. But I was going to say pray for blessings, but it'll be over by the time. But yeah, I'm praying for blessings. I'm praying for miracles. I believe that God is going to do something crazy on this trip. So I actually do just want to point out one thing. All my Instagrams and links are below, but I do have a link for offerings. If you guys have been being blessed by this podcast and feel it in your heart to give to the podcast, it's sustained through the offerings, as well as I am still trying to find a missionary organization that I can put 10% of the offerings to there, because I do have a really big burning for missionaries on my heart and I do want to help support that. So the offerings will be going, 10% will be going there, and then also helping out the podcast to grow, maybe get my own like room or microphone. But yeah, just know that the fruit that you got, the seeds that you guys plant will be bearing fruits on this podcast. So if you do feel like you're getting blessed by this podcast and you do feel generous in your heart, then go ahead, send an offering. And I just want to bless you for doing that. Amen. Let's get right in to this episode. So I don't know how, but God is just gracing like so much favor over the relationship aspect of this podcast. Like, I love talking all things relationship. I love helping women like wait for the one. I love that because I really had it in my heart when I was single to prepare for the one and to prepare for Freddie. And I do have it in my heart to help you guys who are listening to also get that and also wait on God's perfect timing and wait so he can bless you with what he has for you so you guys don't settle, you know? So I have actually
asked on my story for questions that you guys had in regards to like relationships, because I was getting a lot of DMs of you guys saying that you're in the same spot, like you're in the same position, that you don't really know how to be pursued, you don't know when you're being pursued. And I decided to help, and I decided to ask, have you guys ask questions so that way I can answer them. I'm gonna try my hardest to answer what I can. Some of them I think I also have to wait until I get married, because I feel like some things God gives to us and he lets it marinate in us, kind of like cooking us. So he's like, hey, I gave you this, but store it for a time, put it on the shelf, and then you guys can, then you can use it when it's ready, when it's cooked, you know. I think of a clay jar when it's being molded on the spinning wheel. And it gets molded, and then it goes through the fire, and then you put it on the shelf. And then when you feel like you're ready to use that cup, you go ahead and you use it. And I believe that that's the same thing. God gives you the word or gives you some experience, and then you go through the fire like you're going through it, and then you put it on the shelf. And when it's time to go, God says, now you can use this, and now you can share this, because it's perfected in you. And we all know that God's work is pleasing and perfect. And so when he is ready, he allows us to use the word and bless other people. But I hope you guys are doing well. And I'm ready. I'm ready to start this episode. I'm ready to start asking your questions. I believe that what I just said, that like you're supposed to let it marinate and cook, is actually for someone. I feel that on my heart that it was for someone, that God has this intimacy with you, and he desires for you to store it and treasure it and release it when it's time. Because I do have a problem sometimes of just receiving what God gives me and just sharing it with whoever is in my vicinity. But God is a God of intimacy, and you don't share the aspects of all your relationships to everyone. And it's kind of like the same thing with God. So if he's place something on your heart and you're feeling kind of like iffy about sharing it with anyone, just wait. Me and Freddie were actually, something came up in our lives and we're waiting. And by this time that this podcast episode is out, I believe that it has happened. And we're waiting. And he mentioned it a little bit in front of our friends. And then I kind of told him just like, to talk about it when we're alone, because I really felt the impression that God desired for us to hold it between me and him, because God's glory is to be shown through it when it happens. And the only reason I'm sharing this now is because it'll have happened by the time this episode airs. And he said that he felt the same impression. And so we haven't told a soul, only us two know. But anyways, that is so off topic, but I feel like that's a word for someone out there. Now, let's get into the questions. So the first question, I have a response. I don't know how the viewer or how you will take it, just because I feel like my response is a little bit different than what the world is saying about this topic. So this is the question. Christian dating apps, or should a man always pursue in person? So, Christian dating apps. I think that dating apps in general were created as a kind of like a fast way of dating. You know, I think that we as humans, we get impatient. I mean, we live in the microwave generation. And so we get impatient. We want things like this. And I think that that is what dating apps as a whole are. I think it's a quick way to date, a quick way to find someone, a quick way to do this, 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 and that. I do believe that relationships have been found on dating apps and Christian dating apps. I know that God has his plan for everyone, and God works all things together for the good. And if you do like feel this burning conviction on your heart to get a dating app, like if it's a conviction, like you know it's from the Lord, you've talked to counsel, then get the dating app, because you never know, you might like meet someone that's like hours and hours and hours away that you wouldn't meet in person. But I firmly believe that God works all things together for our good. And I firmly believe that God aligns paths of who we're meant to be with. If you think about it, years and years, Bible times, they didn't have Christian dating apps. And yet Rebecca was going to draw water. And somehow Jacob's servant happened to just come across her and find out that she was the one that the Lord had separated for Jacob. He had to go on a mission to find her, but yet somehow he still put their paths together. I think of my story with Freddie. I lived in Toronto. He lived here in Florida. And God put it on my heart, you're going to move to Florida. You're going to do seminary here. And I happened to meet Freddie. I believe that God does things in our lives to align our paths together. I don't think a woman is supposed to look and search and be like, is that the one? Is that the one? Is that the one? Is that the one? We are supposed to wait. We're called to like receive while the men are called to give, you know, and we can sit back. And I believe when you go on a dating app, I believe that when you go on a dating app, you are not patiently waiting for the Lord. I guess that's not even a good way to put it, because you could be patiently waiting on the app, but you are trying to seek something and trying to stir something in your own strength and awaken something that maybe is not supposed to be awakened. But again, there is the exception of if God is literally putting it on your heart, because I have heard stories where they literally felt such a conviction to like get the app. But I don't know, like this is my opinion, you know, this isn't like sound doctrine Bible things, but I've always kind of just not desired to find someone on a dating app. I always wanted organically, because I think that God makes a way for his will. And so I check your intention as to why you're trying to get a dating app. Like, are you trying to look for someone? Is the Lord not enough in this season of your life? Are you trying to speed up the process that the Lord has for you? And the other thing, dating apps are really dangerous. You don't know the person that you're meeting up with. You don't know their character, their friends. You don't really know anything. And I know that there's also the argument that there is people in person that could be like unsafe that you end up meeting up with. But that's why it's best to like get to know the person like in a group setting before you start one-on-one dating. I hope that answers your question. I think that dating apps are just a way to hurry up the process that the Lord has for you. And plus, I just think like hearing the story of like God did this story for me is just something worth waiting for, rather than looking to speed up the process on a dating app. But again, check your heart and check why you want the app. Someone who is emotionally available, unavailable right now, do I wait for him? I don't know. Like, it's not that I don't know. Like, I never wanted to wait for somebody. You know, I wasn't waiting for Freddie. I didn't even, when God was telling me, when he was putting Ecclesiastes 8:5, and it was like, a wise heart knows a proper time in the just way, I wasn't even for certain that that was for Freddie. Like, I just knew that every time I prayed for Freddie, that's what I would get on my heart. But I could have, like, I could have thought that it was for somebody else, you know, that I could, God was just telling me to wait for another person. But I don't think you should wait for a person to come around. You have a purpose in your singleness, and that is with the guy or without the guy. And if he's not emotionally available for you right now, why wait for him to be available and stop the purpose that the Lord has for you? Because maybe you waiting for this emotionally unavailable person is actually going to stop and halt the process of you meeting the right person, because your heart is so fixated on one person that it's not open to the person that the Lord has for you. Maybe this guy is even the person that God has for you, but why sit around and wait when God has a purpose for you? I think about, again, the story of Rebecca. She wasn't sitting there waiting for a man. She wasn't sitting there waiting for the Lord to bring her Jacob. She was pursuing the Lord. She was pursuing purpose. She was pursuing serving the kingdom and her duties. And then it just so happened that as she was serving the kingdom, pursuing her duties, she met Jacob's servant. And if you're emotionally available in this moment, keep your heart open for someone who is emotionally available in the moment, because I don't know, like maybe you could be the person that ends up making them emotionally available, like God could use you, but they need the Lord. Be praying that they meet the Lord and they become vulnerable with the Lord, that they become prepared for their marriage, if that's you or not. But my advice for you is to pursue your purpose. Pursue your purpose. Don't even think, oh, I'll be here when he's emotionally available. Because what if he becomes emotionally available and he doesn't go to you? You know, that's a what if, okay? But pursue the purpose that the Lord has for you in this season, because God wants to show you things about God's character. God wants to show you how much he loves you. God wants to show you how you're a daughter of the King. God wants to show you how he pursues you. God wants you to wait on him. It never says wait on the man. It says wait on the Lord. And so take your time to wait on God, you know, and in this time that you're waiting for him, ask God, is he the one? And mean it, intentionally mean, if he's not the one, Lord, take the desire away from my heart. If he's not the one, Lord, do something new, do something different, and pursue the purpose. I just feel that really big on my heart for people who are waiting for someone that's emotionally unavailable. Take that away from your focus and put Jesus as the focus and then his purpose. Run towards purpose, because I believe when you're in purpose, just like Rebecca was in purpose, she was getting the water and then she encountered the servant. That is what's going to happen. As you're in your purpose, as you're in your calling, as you're walking, knowing that you are so loved and graced by the Lord, God is bound to just bring you a divine encounter. I really hope that answered your question. So there is a question that I really wanted to answer. Oh, I love all of these questions, to be honest. So I'd like to know how Freddie pursued you, because my situation is similar to how you had to wait. Before I started to date Freddie, I read, even before like I knew he liked me, literally when we became friends, I read Ruth 4 times. The Lord told me to read Ruth 4 times. And I got a lot of revelation of how Boaz would pursue Ruth. And it was through attention. You know, he would give her attention. He was like, to the people that work there, he was like, hey, don't shoo her away from gleaning. Make sure she stays here. And when they were eating, he like called her to his table. He gave her like extra grain, and you could see that he was favoring her of all the other women, you know. So I remember I read Ruth so many times, and I would see that Boaz just gave her so much attention. When Freddie started pursuing me, I started noticing that too. I'd like to know if Freddie pursued you, because my situation. Okay, so when I started finding out that Freddie like was interested in me through other people, I started to a little bit take a notice of what Freddie was doing when we were around people, and he was constantly giving me attention like that. And that's, if you ask him now, when you ask him like how he made it known to me that he likes me, he would tell you that it was through giving me attention, and a lot of attention. And he would always like come and try to talk to me. He would like, I remember one time he sent me a message, and it was like a picture of something written somewhere. And he was like, oh, did you write this? Because it sounds like something you would write. And my friend sent me this picture of it, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at it and I was like, we don't text. Like, that is such a random text message to send me. You know what I mean? And so, through attention, that's how Freddie pursued me. A lot of attention and through favor. There was this one time where we were in the car. I think we shared it on our story. But we were in the car and I liked his shirt. And I was like, wow, like, I really like your shirt. And then I was like, you should give it to me. Like, I was just like playing a little joke. I was like flirting a little bit. And he's like, I only ever give my shirt to one person. And then I was like, okay, like, you don't have to give it to me. Like, it's fine, whatever. But then he said it again. Like, I only give my shirt to one person. And then he was like a significant other or something like that. And then he said, but I can give you my shirt. And then I realized, like, why is he giving me his shirt? You know, why, you know? And it made me realize that, like, oh, like, he's favoring me. He's doing something different to me than he is doing to people around me, you know, and to the girls around me. And also, I remember that he started opening the door for me. Like, everywhere I would go, he would open the door for the car, or he would open the door just anywhere. He would start opening the doors for me, but he wasn't doing that for anybody else. And so I started to notice that he was favoring me a little bit, and that he was giving me a lot more attention than giving the other girls attention, but also giving me more attention than any of the other guys were giving me attention, you know? And so if you want to know, like, how a man pursues, go take a look at Ruth. Look at Ruth. Look at the story of Ruth. I believe that that story blessed my life and is a reason that I was able to see through God's eyes over what was happening. Also, when I went to talk to my pastor about Freddie and how I liked him, I found out that Freddie had also talked to the pastor about how he liked me months prior. So you will know, like, you will know if someone is pursuing you. People around you will be like, oh, I think he likes you. People will start asking you, like, especially if you're like in a church, you know, people love relationships in a church. And so they'll literally start being like, what do you think of this person? Like, do you think they're cute? Like, yeah, and people ask questions. But read the book of Ruth, read it a couple times, and yeah, I hope that answers your questions. I think I have time for one more. Let's read, how do you get to know each other but not date? Let's answer that. I really like this question because my church is really big on not, like, going right into dating. It's really big on courtship, which is like intentional dating, intentional pursual, intentional hangouts, intentional everything, dating to marry, like everything like that. It's very big on that. And one of the things is, like, normally they recommend for you not to be like straight into dating. You know what I mean? You shouldn't just be going one-on-one on dates with the person unless you have established, like, hey, we desire to spend our lives together and we know from God that we have peace from this and confirmation. And so how do you maintain that friendship, or how do you get to know each other but not date? The best thing that you can find, because I had to go through this, because I was not allowed to date Freddie for a year after we started seminary, and I started in August and he started the January after that. So we started liking each other in January. Well, he started liking me in January. And so we had to wait a whole year to date. So we literally couldn't go on dates and we couldn't be alone together. So we had to get to know each other without dating. And so I really like this question. The best way is to get to know each other with friends around. Like, be friends. As I just said, like, I read the book of Ruth first, and I read it three or four times. And God literally made me read that book so I would remember one thing and have one revelation. And that's that the name of Ruth actually means friend. And so, and I didn't know how to just be friends with guys before I became Christian. It was, like, unfortunate what I went through because I didn't know the value of myself. And so I was kind of thinking everybody was for me and I was for everybody. And I didn't know how to just be friends with the guy. And so God always spoke to my heart to be his friend. And how do you do that? Like, you just be a friend to him like everybody else's friends. You know, you talk amongst each other in a group. And the best way to get to know somebody's character is to see who they are in a group of people. Because if they're kind to the women in a group of people, they're going to be kind to you. If they're funny with their friends, they're going to be funny to you. If they're rude to their friends, they're going to be rude to you. It's just a matter of time, because of course at the beginning, everybody, like, wants to impress the other person, so they're 100% good all the time. But then comes a moment where it's like that settles and you get comfortable, you know, and the true you comes out. And so really see who they are in a group setting. And you, of course, can have your one-on-one conversations in a group setting, but also be mindful to the time limit, because people around you are going to be like, why are they talking so much? But that, I think, is the best way to get to know someone without dating, is to be around them a lot in a group setting. You know, start hanging. Man, this is so embarrassing, but I used to invite people to come for movie nights at my house or game night at my house all the time, so that way Freddie could come, and he would never respond in the group chat if he's coming or not. He would just show up, and so it was always this little like thing of like, is he coming, is he not coming? But then also I got to know him, but also be around friends, and got to see him around friends. And so that's the best advice I think I have for wanting to get to know someone without dating. Like, be around them with people around. You know, when you guys are at a restaurant, like, sit together, you know, or sit in front of each other. Or if you guys are at church, like, you guys can talk to each other after service, you know. But be around, like, a group of people. It's good for you. So I have a question that says, would you recommend praying for your future husband? If so, where do I start? I'm going to answer this in 2 seconds. And then the other ones I want to answer, like, it's just like for a later time. But would you recommend praying for your future husband? If so, where do I start? Yes. Pray for your future husband. Pray for your future husband when you're lonely. Pray for your future husband when you want to talk to somebody that's from your past. Pray for your future husband when you're... ask your pastors to pray for your future husband. Always be praying. Like, literally put, like, lavish him with prayer. It is the best thing you're going to do. What I did was I wrote a list of qualities that I desired in a man. And there was some like physical, but a lot of characteristics inside. And I would take that list and I would pray over it when I got lonely. So I'd go one by one and I would pray over it. And I would pray it over my husband. So I would say, Lord, like, my husband is a leader. In the name of Jesus, I declare that he leads men, that he's a leader like Moses, like, et cetera, et cetera. And so pray over them, cover them with prayer, because a praying wife, because that is what you're getting, a husband, is a blessed wife. And it says that we're supposed to do good and not harm all the days of their lives for the husbands. And so a good thing to do is to start praying, because he's alive. And just like your friends need to be covered in prayer, so does your future husband need to be covered in prayer. Amen. Amen. I really hope that this helped, gave some advice to all of you singles out there. And yeah, let's just end in prayer. Amen. Amen. Jesus, I just want to thank you for this episode. I want to thank you, Lord, because your heart is so steadfast over the listener. I want to pray that it would touch their hearts, and that, Lord, you would touch their hearts, that they would be faithful with what you give them, that they would be prayerful over their future husbands, and that they would wait, Lord, wait on you in the name of Jesus. Guys, thanks so much for listening.